Do you often find yourself just surviving motherhood? Do you find yourself placing your hope in the next season because this side of mundane motherhood is just too hard? We've all been there, and I'm here to tell you that there is more. And though this generation of mothers are embracing survival mode, I'm here to tell you that you don't belong there. You may be down, but you're not out. And like the righteous man who gets up again and again, we will keep getting up until we're rising from glory to glory in our motherhood. I'm Heather Lee, and this is the Revived Motherhood Podcast. So go grab your coffee. It's probably in the microwave if you're looking for it, and come join me. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Revived Motherhood. Thanks so much for joining me here. Today we're going to be talking about godly discipline and what that looks like, because we so often see different versions of it everywhere, right? And the hard part is, so everyone thinks that their version is the right way. So, they write the books, they start the online classes, and they promise you success. And there's nothing wrong with the books or the classes. What's wrong and why something seems to not be working is because you are going to a source before going to the source. You are going to someone who doesn't even know your child before going to the one who not only created, but knows better how to encounter their hearts more than anyone else. So let's be real for a second. Too many of us are placing our hope in a parenting method or formula instead of going to Holy Spirit. I often see so many parents on the struggle bus because they are trying to force a method on their family that works for someone else but doesn't seem to be working for them. That's why it's so important to go to Holy Spirit on how to raise your kids, because He knows our kids better than we do. He knows their hearts, their way of thinking, and how to raise them up. But we need to remember that just because it's trendy or has always been done doesn't mean it's what's best for your family. So, why must we discipline? What's its purpose, and what does it look like? I was talking to my daughter the other day why discipline and correction was so important, though is often frowned upon. My daughter is a lover of grace. I mean, aren't we all? For an assignment once, she was asked to write or draw something she loves, and she drew a picture of her dad giving her grace. Because she currently has a hard time with correction in even the gentlest form, we tend to talk about the needs for it often. "Mama, why do we need correction?" she would ask. And how I responded to her is what I believe to be true about discipline, the reason for it, and what it looks like. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." I told my darling girl, no one likes discipline, even mom and dad. If someone did, then it's probably not discipline. But though it's uncomfortable and unpleasant for both of us, we discipline you accordingly while offering an abundance of grace as Holy Spirit leads, because you have a high calling on your life. And without the discipline that produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, you won't live up to the calling of your life that the Father has in store for you, nor be ready or equipped for such a life. That's why it says in Proverbs 12:1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid." So, what is godly discipline? Let me start out by telling you what it's not. It does not look like rage. It doesn't look like losing your temper or spanking your child or yelling because you lost control. It also doesn't look like control. It does not look like an unrealistic expectation to expect nothing less than a perfect behavior at all times, and then punish them when they fall short. It also doesn't look like just focusing on the good either. There's a quote that's most popular in the positive parenting method: focus on the flowers and ignore the weeds, with the mindset behind it to only give attention to the good behavior. And doing that, the bad behavior will subside. It also doesn't look like having no expectations on our kids and letting them react to their feelings however they want and doing whatever they want without correction. Now, what godly discipline is firstly, it's not found in a method, but in Holy Spirit. Godly discipline is patient. It's slow to anger. It is understanding. And though it's meant to be uncomfortable, however you feel the Holy Spirit leading you, it is safe. Godly discipline does not produce or react out of fear, trauma, or anger, but responds out of love, courage, trust, and consistency, and knowing when to correct and when to give grace, so that a harvest of righteousness and maturity can be produced. Let's talk about methods. Let me start out by saying that I don't do methods or formulas, because the moment I place my hope in a method, that the method is the answer, I will start running towards the next book, influencer, or spokesperson for this formula instead of running to the feet of Jesus and receiving wisdom from the Holy Spirit, who has never failed me. I would also be tempted to place judgment on other moms who have embraced other methods, which I have unfortunately seen many times. That being said, I appreciate and see the fruit in all the methods. I know of authoritative, positive, and gentle, and I'm sure there's more, but those are the ones that I'm familiar with. And though I see fruit in all of them I mentioned, I also see flaws, which, again, I don't do methods, but instead, Holy Spirit guides me in directing my children. Sometimes it's through a tool used in authoritative parenting, and through other times, through gentle or positive, through all of it, I apply all of them. But whatever I do, it is intentional, thought out, and Holy Spirit led. So let's talk about some of these tools. So authoritative parenting. They are nurturing, responsive, supportive, yet they set firm limits on their children, and they believe in spanking. Someone asked me on Instagram if I believed in spanking and if I believed it's biblical. Now, I'm not going to read out all the verses because you guys already know them. I believe every parent, every Bible-believing parent has read all the verses on spanking. And everybody has a different opinion on them, and that's totally fine. I honestly believe all of the methods are biblical. But I personally believe in spanking. Now, before you come at me with your pitchforks, hear me out. Though I believe in spanking, I believe, like many methods, it is used and abused. Unfortunately, too many parents use this tool as a way to gain control or to lash anger towards your children in the name of correction, and that is not acceptable. But when I see spanking being applied as a tool used in love to disciple and protect, I've seen amazing fruit of joyful and thriving children. And I've heard some of those children who are now adults appreciate and even thank their parents for applying this tool to them because it was beneficial to them personally. Now, for our family, personally, we don't apply spanking in our family for very often, and it is only on the table as a tool we use for such a short season, and that is when they understand direction and are verbal, so around 2 or 3, and we no longer apply it by age 5. And honestly, we don't really feel the need to, because the thing is, the things that we would spank for, we no longer did, because they no longer did it. But how did we apply spanking? When they would put themselves or others in danger, like running away or running towards the street after calling them back. If they weren't listening or purposely causing pain to others or direct disobedience, that could also be dangerous to them. We do not spank for tantrums unless they choose to try and hurt someone while they tantrum. Instead, we help them navigate and show them how to respond to their emotions with words, which leads to our next method. Let's talk about positive parenting. They take an approach that is sensitive to children's individual needs and addressing the typical challenge that arises in childhood with empathy and respect. I love that. But like all methods, there are flaws. Like I spoke earlier on focusing on the flowers approach. It sounds great, and for the most part, I believe in it. But what happens when you focus on the flowers and ignore the weeds? You guessed it, and any gardener would agree. The weeds will continue to grow and eventually kill the flowers. I was reading a comment section on a positive parenting Instagram account, and a mother asked if it was normal for her 10-year-old to throw themselves on the floor in a tantrum. And to that, she responded, and I quote, "It is completely normal. They are trying to regulate the best they can, and adults have tantrums too." So that is what happens when weeds aren't addressed. They don't go away, and it affects the good harvest that we are trying to produce in our children. This 10-year-old that is throwing tantrums was not discipled and disciplined and taught how to use his feelings and emotions and express them properly and effectively. Because we don't want to raise robots, we want to encourage emotion in our kids. We want them to come to us when they feel sad or angry or mad or hurt. We want to see the side of them just like we want to see the joy in their faces. But it is our job to teach them how to express this emotion, that as a 10-year-old, it is completely normal to be angry, but throwing yourself on the floor is not acceptable. I can only help you if you tell me how you are feeling. We can understand and be positive with our kids, but we need to remember that weeds need correction and need to be plucked out and addressed so they can flourish. And finally, let's talk about gentle parenting. It's an approach that encourages a partnership between you and your child to make choices based on eternal willingness instead of pressure. I so love the gentle parenting method. For the most part, and I think out of all the methods, I do use the gentle method the most. But here's the thing with gentle parenting, though I believe it is important to let our children make choices. I have to say, ask why. I believe respect, obedience to a parent is important for a thriving household, and a consequence should be in place when a child rebels. We need to teach our children how to respond to authority, not just for character purposes, but because if it's difficult for our kids to see the importance of obedience between parent and child, they will struggle to see the importance between obedience between Father in heaven and child. And that failure to obey both have painful consequences. Now, my children can tell me how they're feeling. They can disagree and respectfully tell me they don't want to do something. It's important for our communication with honor and respect for each other to be very open. But though they have free will to disobey, they are not free to disobey without consequence. Not because they feel disrespected or hurt, but because it is a command that the Lord gave to our children. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given you. Exodus 20:12. I want my children to obey me because I want them to obey God. I want them to honor me because I want them to honor God. Because when they don't honor me, they don't honor the one who sent me to mother them. So I think we'll stop here for this podcast because this pregnant mama is running out of breath. I'm 24 weeks now. So just like talking in long sentences makes it hard to breathe. You know what I'm saying? So all you pregnant mamas feel me. So we're going to stop today. I'm still trying to decide if we're going to have a part two or if I'm going to continue this conversation because we just got to the very beginning of this topic. But I'm trying to decide if we're going to have a part two or if we're going to continue on Instagram. So if you are not following me yet on Instagram, you can go ahead and follow me at Revived Motherhood on Instagram. And yeah. Let's have the conversation there as well. So I hope you guys are having a fantastic Tuesday. I hope this encouraged you. And I will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for joining me today, friends. If you would love to connect with me on Instagram, I'd love to have you. You can go follow me at Revived Motherhood. We have a fun community over there, and you can find daily motherhood encouragement. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't, and share with your friends. And if you haven't yet, please leave a review. It would mean so much to me, and it would also help this podcast get in the hands of other moms who might need encouragement. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. Love you guys. Bye.